Well, John the Baptist is once again in our lectionary reading. We have been in the Gospel of Matthew, and John the Baptist in Matthew's Gospel is a little bit surprised by Jesus being the Messiah. You should be baptizing me, not I you. Are you the one who is to come, or should we be looking for another? Surprised by Jesus. But today we are in John's Gospel, and there is no doubt in the baptizer's mind as to who Jesus is. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is the one who is in the beginning. So we'll begin in John chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. Hear the word of God. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched, Jesus walked by. And he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. And he brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What are you looking for? It is a question that is raised moment to moment. You can be looking for the fastest way home. You can be looking for the name of a good dentist. You can be looking for a short sermon on a Sunday morning. These are examples of things that we look for from time to time. But then there are the deeply seated quests. I know young people who are agonizing over looking for a career path, some direction for their lives. Nothing seems right. I know some people looking for a way out of a bad marriage or a terrible choice or worry that will not go away. Some are looking to pay it forward, some are looking to get it back. I know a man who said that there was a day when I wanted to get back at my brother for what he did, but then I decided to let all that go. Well, that man would tell me that just about every time I saw him. There was a day where I wanted to get my brother back for what he did, but then I decided I needed to let it go. There was a day when I decided, you could just tell he hadn't found what he was looking for. Imagine for a moment that Jesus turned to you, a follower of Jesus, and asked you, "What are you looking for?" I would hope that Jesus would catch me at the right moment in my life. By that I mean at that moment when I would have a God-sized need. Because, well, I remember when I was a young boy that for my Christmas I got a couple of Hot Wheels Sizzler cars. Are you old enough of that age to know what those are? The big thing back then, little cars that you plugged in for 60 seconds and they ran around the track for about 4 minutes and then finally they slowed and died. We call those cars Teslas today. But when I was a boy, Sizzlers, all my friends got them, and I remember that Christmas because I got two of them. One was called the Straight Scoop, and it was a blaze. It went great. And the other one was called Revan Heaven, which was a dog. Revan Heaven, a dog. If I had received the Revan Heaven as a gift today, I'd just send it back to Amazon. But back then, you just kept what you got. And what I had was a dog. Well, why was it a dog? Well, in my young mind, I didn't think mechanically or electrically. I thought theologically. The town where I grew up in was steeped in Calvinism. that everything was under the providence of God. God was in over above all things. And so this dog of a car, Revan Heaven, the name I thought was surely offensive to the Lord. Because as you understand, my dad is a reverend, and instead of hearing Revan as in like Revan a car engine, I heard Reverend like my dad. And Heaven, well, that speaks for itself. And I thought the name for this car surely must be offensive to the Lord. This is the atmosphere I grew up in, folks. There was no other way to explain it. And so I remember praying to God. I can remember the exact place I was when I said this prayer. I was walking home from a friend's house, and I can remember that it was kind of a January day. The snow was melting. I can smell the day, and I can remember the prayer. That, Lord, you would just fix this dog of a car. I know the name is offensive to you, Lord, but if you could just fix it. That was my God-sized need. Now, if I look back over my whole life and rewind the prayers of my life, I wonder if I would just laugh at my God-sized needs at time to time to time to time to time. I think they all might be a little self-centered, a little self-serving. That's why I think the Gospel of John is so good for me and hopefully for you. Because this Gospel puts time on two levels. There's human time, and John lets us know in this scripture about the human time, because do you remember what time it was in the scripture? 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Someone was paying attention. 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Great, that's a time. It's as if the Gospel of John is kind of smirking at us because we are run by time, because if this service isn't over by 9:30, right? 9:30. You just got to get at it. 9:30. That's the time. Or there's God time, the eternal Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, eternal. Two time zones. And Jesus asks the two, what are you looking for? And those two respond with the same words, where are you staying? And I believe that to be an eternal answer. Where are you staying? Where can we abide with you? That's what I need. Because, well, how did your week go? This week I had a little emotional setback about 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday. Looking back now, it seems less and less a thing that I need to be angry about or hurt about or disappointed about. But if Jesus were to ask me at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday, I'd say, Lord, I'm looking for justice. Lord, I'm looking for truth. Lord, I'm looking for an apology. Lord, I'm looking back for some trust. I'm looking for an understanding of the definition of friendship. I'm looking to get the record straight. That's what I'm looking for, Lord. But at that same time, I had this text before me. What are you looking for? Lord, where are you staying? Because I need to stay with you. I don't like where I'm living now. I need a place to live. A place that's not measured by right or wrong, but a place of healing. I need some place to get away from my will be done and to enter into thy will be done. I need some holy time with the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. eternal time that was there in the beginning and will be forever and ever and ever. Where are you staying? And Jesus says, come and see. Come and see. Enter the eternal. Yesterday, we had the service for Tim Balch. Tim, Linda, sit right there. Tim, a big UNC fan, and every win over Duke, he'd be there in that light blue tie and a grin. Used to make me mad. But Tim had an amazing resume. McAllister, Deerfield Academy, Moorhead Scholar, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, Marine Colonel. Wow. Wow. I didn't know you were a Marine, Tim, and Tim said, well, I'm the kind of Marine who, in basic training, went up the hill, captured the hill faster than anybody, didn't lose a man in my outfit. And then the commander came up and said, who's the Marine who's in charge of this platoon? And Tim raised his hand, I am, sir. And he said, well, you managed to take the wrong hill. Well, that was Tim. Tim didn't mind sharing the parts of his resume that were a little embarrassing, that needed a little grace from God, some eternal moment. And what I remember is being in a room in the church the other day with his son, John. We talked about a story about his father. He said, I was a ball boy, and I was at one of the great tournaments with some of the old players, Bob Lutz, Stan Smith, Jimmy Connors. And at that tournament, I got to have all those guys sign tennis balls. He said, the problem was I had a terrible Sharpie, and they signed their names, but you could hardly read them. He said, I was a kid, and so when I went back up into my hotel room, I got a better Sharpie and started to go over the names of the signatures. He said, I showed my dad the tennis balls. Look, Dad, I fixed them. And Tim said, you sure did. He said, Dad didn't chastise me. Dad didn't let me know I screwed up. I'd find that out soon enough. What I remember about Dad, eternal love, eternal grace, eternal home. This is what keeps us going. When I was a young child, I had a broken thing, a Sizzler car. Now, as an adult, I could say I'm surrounded by broken things. You could too. Some of you have so much that is broken, and I don't know how you do it. But maybe you do it by asking the address of the Lord. Where are you staying? And the Lord says, come and see. And in the eternal love, in the eternal grace, in the eternal home, what I've been looking for is you.